You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio, as usual, our master behind the curtain, Paul.
the only peasant in the room here. I'm with royalty. I'm with noblemen today here.
Wow.
So speaking of that, I am so pleased and so proud to have a good friend of mine, Yves LeSueur, who is executive editor of Nobleman Magazine. Yves is a passionate creator and innovative thinker who brings a particular sense of style and aesthetic to each project he touches. He continues to set the standard for creative and digital innovation at Nobleman Magazine, which is experiencing amazing success in delivering premier luxury men's style and lifestyle content for men with taste. Yves, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And that was quite the intro.
Well, it's well-deserving.
Well, thank you.
So, Yves, you and I've got to know each other pretty well, and you have quite the pedigree that brought you to Nobleman Magazine. You mind telling the audience a little bit about kind of your work past and to get where you are today?
Yeah, it's kind of a somewhat of a long journey, but the cliff notes is that I was in publishing probably 20 some odd years ago, which that dates me a little bit, but I was in publishing for the first few years of my career, and then I turned to advertising, which I was at both at Saatchi & Saatchi and Chiat Day for probably the next 15 years of my career in the 2000 or so. And then I went on the client side for a little bit, came back on the agency side, which I had a pretty deep love affair with advertising. And then I just happened to run into Doug McLaughlin, and we talked about the magazine and what was needed a little bit, which was kind of an adult at the table. and here I am.
All right. Well, there was a very modest version of your history, but I'll let you get away with that for right now. And we'll pick about that a little bit later. For those who don't know, I'm going to have you describe a nobleman a little bit more than I did in my intro. As many of the listeners know, and if you don't, I am a contributing writer, which I'm so proud to be because it is an amazing book and I think an inspiration for men. But why don't you let the audience know a little bit about what you're doing with Nobleman, what you're trying to do?
Well, I think we want to kind of set the standard and really talk about what really is a nobleman. And a lot of people that look at the magazine, they see it as kind of an aesthetic point of view. It's a beautiful book, and it's really well done, and you know, it's rich in content and look and design. But ultimately, my role over there is to craft a voice for the magazine. We want to define who a nobleman is and what he is also. I think we've had a million conversations about that, you and I. About the fact that a nobleman can either be a plumber or it could be a CEO. For me, there's really no difference. Mm-hmm. It's all about your integrity. It's all about your character. And I think that we want to be able to find stories and people in the magazine that will tell their stories and how does it apply to the overall concept of nobility.
Yeah, great. And although you weren't there at the beginning, you might have some say in it now. What is the inspiration for the book?
Doug, the publisher, Doug McLaughlin, had this literally came to him in a dream. He wanted an outlet to have men's passions and hobbies and all that sort of stuff that's not really seen on the magazine scene. Most magazines are created for women and by women. Mm-hmm. So men tend to have a very little space in the bookshelf, and usually it's in sports.
Yeah, that's right.
So if it's not in sports, then it kind of gets brushed off a little bit. Yeah. I think the magazine really is inspiring to me because it gives us access to creating great stories about men, what they like, what they aspire to be, and who they are in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm. And then beyond inspiration, what are the goals for you in the magazine right now?
I think the goal, well, there's a couple of things. I think that from an editorial point of view, which is really kind of my purview, is to make sure that the voice is consistent and that we have a point of view always. I want the readers to grab the book and not just look at the images. I want them to read what we write. So that means that we have to have a point of view about things. I don't really care whether or not you agree with it or not, but we need to have a point of view. From a business point of view, and I know that Doug would probably share that sentiment, we want to grow the magazine to be a relevant presence nationally. The book is distributed nationally right now, but we're still a baby, and it's only going to be our seventh issue coming up in September.
Right.
So there's a lot of room for growth. We've been very happy, and it's been growing quickly, but it needs to continue to grow at that pace as well.
Yeah. Now, realizing I come from somewhat of a biased position, but I will say most magazines until now, I would be guilty of kind of flipping through. Maybe there's an article, checking out the pictures, whether it's, you know, fitness or fashion or a little bit of sports. But I read every single article in this book every time it comes out, and they're quite good / inspirational / informational. Just good writing.
That seemed to be kind of the consensus. The people that we've talked to, and both men and women, by the way, our women audience is growing as well at the rate of, you know, a few percent every issue.
Oh, no kidding.
We thought that the book would be 90-10, so 90% would be a male readership, yeah, and 10%, but it's inching to 25% female.
No kidding.
And 75% male. So I think the book kind of speaks to a lot of people, not just to men. But everyone that we talk to, they keep the magazine. It's something that's a little bit more of a coffee book than kind of a magazine.
Yeah.
They don't throw them away, they keep them.
Yeah.
And I think that you can see it, you know, when we go to offices and all that, people have them as a kind of a collection. So
yeah,
we're very proud of that fact.
My wife. So I have a stack of all the editions and multiple of each, and she constantly is having me clear out my magazine. She goes, "Honey, aren't you going to get rid of some of those?" I'm like, "I can't. They're too nice."
It's hard. You know, I tend to be a little bit of a hoarder when it comes to magazines, especially with this one.
Yeah. What are, as you're an executive editor, tell the audience what that is and what are some of the highlights of being a executive editor?
Well, it kind of changes from book to book. I mean, the executive editor, and some would go with managing editor, and there was already, you know, somebody with that title. So the executive editor really looks at the content of the magazine and to make sure that there's coherence within the book, so that the voice of the magazine gets really put together in one way that people can recognize. And I think that that's what the executive editor really does. In addition to that, all the content of the magazine comes under my desk. And under and over the desk, really, it seems. And I get it to have a say into what the pieces look like and feel like and adjust that to make sure it fits what the magazine and the audience really is.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, the staff at the magazine on the editorial side really kind of reports to me. And to make sure that we also have that voice as respected and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Now this question kind of goes hand in hand, so those are maybe some of the highlights. What are some of the challenges that you're faced with on a daily basis?
It's the printing business. It's every day is a challenge. I think it's, you know, the people that we talk to always kind of laugh the fact that we started the magazine in a time that print is having a whole lot of challenges.
Yeah.
But we do believe, and we continue to do so, and I think it's proven to be right and successful, that if we have a quality product and we're going to have an audience and know what audience is, they'll find us. But the challenge is to keep it fresh every time, making sure that people, we give them reason to pick up the magazine on the shelf and subscribe. So yeah, the challenges are that. I mean, we deal with them. We have a small staff. You know, budgets tend to be a little bit tight. So all of that at the same time, would be the main challenges.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. As I get to know you, I've discovered that you are, work is very important to you, but also family and life. And we're going to talk a little bit about your recent Africa trip. We'll do that after the break. But while I didn't print it, I will tell you that you did a post on your birthday a few weeks ago, and it was really super moving to me.
Oh, thank you.
Because you approached it not from, one, you know, not that I'm a great guy or you know, all about business. It was really on the fundamentals of I think what drives you. Can you break it down a little bit, like what how you created that?
It's kind of funny after when you get past the age of 50 and And, you know, at 55 now, logically and mathematically, you know, I've got more years behind me than in front of me. Well, at least I think so. So I kind of wanted to look at my birthday as a place where I was, you know, both spiritually, family-wise, and all that. And I realized that I was pretty happy. And, you know, even with, you know, challenges and issues and all of that we get through, you know, every day with families and all that, I was in a pretty good spot. And so I think that that's what has spurred me into writing that.
Actually, I'm not quite done with that. Do you remember it off the top of your head, or I want to look it up?
I think I'd have to look it up, exactly what I said, but yeah, we can look it up. It's fine.
Okay. Well, I'm going to come back to that then, because it just meant, again, was so moving for me. This is certainly related, and you seem to, from where I stand as a friend and seeing you as an kind of outside looking in, you seem to be able to manage that kind of work-life balance. Any tricks on that, or how does that?
I don't know that there's a trick. I think that I think you need to realize what's important. You know, I'm fine with having a good, great, successful life in terms of business, but if I come home and I have no one to talk to about it, then it becomes for naught. I think that my wife has always been, you know, my biggest supporter and my biggest fan, and I am hers as well. And I think that and then we keep a sense of humor about everything too. So I think that that's one thing that it helps balance things. I have a tendency to be a little bit of a workaholic, so she'll call me on it pretty quickly and say, "Listen, you haven't been home in 3 days, so why don't you just spend 20 minutes telling me about your day?" and then she'll make me laugh, and then things will get better instantly. So I think that's where the balance comes from. I'm able to kind of look at my life and say, okay, well, A, I'm not curing cancer. B, there's a lot more problems in the world, and I think going to Africa really, really kind of crystallized that, and I'm very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, certainly an inspiration there. So who in your life would you consider a mentor?
A mentor was there was a woman that I worked for a long time ago. Her name is Sue Arellano, and she was one of the partners of the agency that I worked at. And she always was able to provide a good word. When I was young, I had a temper, and I was pretty quick to the draw, and she was able to kind of calm me down and say, okay, A, you're not always the smartest person in the room, so that's one thing. And B, maybe if you listen more than you talk, it would be great.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson that I learned the hard way. And but she was always quick to be able to say, listen, this is not the worst thing that's going to happen. Wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, I'm still in contact with her, and she's always has good, you know, good wisdom over the years, and so I love her, and I think she was really instrumental in making sure my career just moved the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Is there a particular podcast that you like, or presenters of podcasts?
I tend to listen to Mark Cuban a lot.
Oh, you do?
And for whatever odd reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always an odd guy to talk to listen to sometimes, and his opinions are always pretty strong. I tend to be very opinionated too, so I always take a little bit of value in what he says.
Yeah. So. How about authors? Anybody that inspires you? Or?
I'm a big Walter Isaacson fan, and he's a great, you know, he does a great work in biographies and all that. And I just finished actually the Leonardo da Vinci biography for
him. Oh, yeah?
And so I think his point of view is always sort of different as an author.
He
doesn't try to impose his view on the subject.
Yeah.
He sort of kind of reports. He's more of a reporter, so to speak.
Yeah.
I always love his work.
Yeah, nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months. And the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, People G2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit PeopleG2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or PeopleG2.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, in studio, Yves LeSueur. We're talking about his career as an editor, his little bit of his life journey and inspirational comments about life. And we did find his recent posts, and we mentioned it earlier, so I'm going to read it out loud, and then we need to break it down anymore. I think it would be kind of fun. So this is for his 55th birthday. So he says, well, 55 years old today, I am in the following order: a believer in Christ, a devoted husband to my lovely bride, Diana, a father to what seems to be a plethora of kids, a writer, an artist, a lover of Montreal Canadiens and the France national football team, a friend to many and envious of none. I celebrate today because I am blessed. I am a blessed man. I am happy, seeking the next adventure, curious to see what our family will do next. Most of all, I am in the exact place I should be. Most people look at middle age as the dipping point. I see it as the beginning of what is next. Eve, that's so great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very well done. Anything more you want to say about that, or are you ready to...
No, I think the last sentence is, you know, I do see my life as the beginning of what's next.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always tell that to people. I have a lot of juice left, it feels. Like I have a lot of things left to say.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of excited to what's coming.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good lead in. One of the questions I like to ask is, what's your why? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here on this earth?
I am, I think, endlessly curious. And I think curiosity is something that has gotten me in trouble plenty. But at the same time, I think it's you know, even when I was little, my parents always thought I was really curious. I'm curious for knowledge. I'm curious for what the other people think. And I'm curious about other points of view. And I think that curiosity has sort of been kind of driving what I do. You know, I'm curious to see what we can do better and next, and I'm curious to see how great we can be collectively, not only as just a business, but as a society. And I think that still drives me today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that seems pretty evident. You, over your career, have I think seen a lot, met a lot of people, some people that maybe we would recognize on the street somewhere. You probably have some really good stories, whether they're interviews or photo shoots. You got one you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, it was a recent one, and with somebody that shall remain nameless, but and it's a celebrity, and I think that the same week we had two interviews with two very different celebrities.
Yeah.
And one of them was terrible and the other one was great.
Yeah.
And the one that was great was this very hot, happening kind of guy who's been on TV now for a few years and kind of really, really successful, and he could have not have been the nicer guy. You know, when we came to the shoot about 7 in the morning at the hotel, we were putting racks of clothes in the staging room and all that, and this guy was opening the doors for us.
Yeah.
And we thought, baseball cap and shorts on, and he was opening doors and helping with the rags, and finally, as I was passing him, he's, hey, Eve, how you doing? And I'm like, how do you know me? Then we realized I was our star. He was just a good guy.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys that was part of the team that day.
Yeah.
And he was very gracious, generous with his time, generous with help. And he's a big star, and you didn't expect that from him. And the other guy was completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Just really difficult and just not forthcoming. And I think that those kind of shows you a little bit that, the attention that these people seem to get. It can either be something that they use for greatness, or they can use it to really becoming and, you know, ales.
Yeah.
And so we see a lot of that. And it never fails to make an impression on me. You can, you know, fame is one of those things that you can either address and do it well, or you can really let it spoil you. And we had two very opposite examples, and it was nice to see.
I think one of the best judges of character, if you will, is how someone treats anyone, not just, hey, I'm going to treat you nice because you're someone special, but how about the person that just, you know, brought my food to the table, or you know, someone who, you know, just opened the door for me, something like that. I think that's so important.
I think that's the mark of a good man. You know, if you're able to treat the valet the same way you treat the CEO of the company, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, people will recognize that too from you.
So. Yeah. So what's that? Tell us all a day in the life, a day in the life of Eve.
Day in the life, up early to try to get a workout in.
And we share a workout passion.
We share workout passions. And then also I've referred to the plethora of kids that I have. And so we have kids to get to school and all of that. So I think that's the early morning. Then, you know, it's up to the office and kind of get the day starting. I like my day to start early, and, you know, I'm... even though I'm not a morning person, I tend to be pretty quiet, as you've noticed, in the morning. But I just want to get my day starting, and then I work until I'm done working, and which sometimes could be late because I don't look at the watch, I don't look at the
clock. I've heard you got in trouble with Diana.
I got in trouble a bunch of times about you thinking about coming home. I said, what do you mean? It's about 7. She goes, no, it's 11:30. So I've done that a couple times. Yeah. But yeah, I tend to, that's kind of the day. And then, when we're at night at home, you know, Diana and I are television people. We love watching TV. So we'll just sit and talk about our day and just relax with a glass of wine. Yeah. So I think that's my day.
Yeah. And then there's those occasional obligatory evening events, right, that we both have to go to at times.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those, and I think that I've started to adjust to those, too. I'm able to kind of, you know, make an appearance and not stay there for 3 hours. And I'm not the most it's funny, it's a weird dichotomy, because I'm not the most social of people, but I know it's part of my gig, so I do it well.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to leave when I need to.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure... I don't have a sweet tooth, but I have bag of chips is something I cannot stay away from. And then also, I like really the Hallmark Channel crappy movies. That's my guilty pleasure.
All right. You and Diana have regular date nights?
Well, yeah, we do. Once a week.
Once a week.
We just had one Saturday night. Okay. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, we can just get out of the house and maybe even if it's just a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and then come back. But we made a point to stay connected.
Yeah.
I think after all these years, you know, you have to find a way to do that.
So important.
And we still do it. And, it's, you know, I dig my wife.
Yeah.
She's fun.
Isn't that great? Yeah, with a 3-year-old at home myself, I find the same issue. I'm telling you.
It's a tough gig.
It is a tough gig. So, Eve, if you listen to the show, you know that one of the things that I have the pleasure of doing is asking my guests their final thought question. So, if you wouldn't mind sharing with me and with the audience your ultimate lesson learned and over your career as an editor, or we'll say maybe in marketing.
Tell the truth. You know, I think it's easy to fudge. I don't want to have a gray area either. I tell the truth or I don't. It's either you lie or you don't.
Yeah.
And I've had great lessons in knowing that telling the truth. You know, my dad used to tell me, if you tell the truth, you won't remember any stories.
Yeah.
And so I think that to my fault, I will tell the truth no matter what.
Yeah.
I think that's, for me, that's the lesson. You know, if I tell the truth, I know that will be okay. Yeah.
So I think your dad pulled from Ben Franklin, tell no lies, you don't have to remember a damn thing.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Eve, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to...
I think the best way to reach me is via email at eves@noblemanmagazine.com. And I return my emails promptly.
Yeah, you actually do. You do.
I do.
Well, Eve, it's really been fun having you in the studio today.
Thank you very much for taking
the time. Thanks so much to everyone who has tuned in. And we look forward to having you back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast at bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.